Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody needs an EP, an executive producer, you know, they know how to take over the controls. Wouldn't it be great if, well, actually, we do have an EP in life, you know, well, I do anyway. I call him God. So anyway, good evening. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Healing with Sound and Color, the almost lost art of meditation to music. I'm your host, your co-host, really, for the next hour, Bill Green. And in the managing the controls is my co-pilot, my wingman, my son, my oldest son, you know, and my muse of the ages, the guy who has helped me be a better father, I like to believe anyway, helped me be a better father to my other two sons at his expense. Will Green. Will. There he is. What's up, Wilfredo?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Yeah, that other EP that you mentioned earlier, yeah, we just don't know when that EP gets the controls, though. They just, you know,
Amen.
They'll turn it up and turn
Amen.
It down, and we just got to roll
Amen.
With it. Always glad to help.
That's
man.
A good
always
way
glad
to put
be
it.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, always glad that you are willing to do that, man. So you want to kind of kick us off with a few background comments about this whole idea of podcasting on Blog Talk Radio?
Well, as always, bienvenidos, namaste, welcome everybody.
Amen.
Welcome to another show here. Before we get started, as always, we like to remind you all listeners to be aware of a couple of things. The first thing is if you don't have one already, we always like to suggest that you get a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, something to write, something to write in case you need to. We just want to make sure that if there's something you pick up from us, any questions you got, anything like that, that you don't miss it and that you have the opportunity to write it down. Here on our show, we like using Blog Talk Radio because we give the opportunity to engage with you all, the listeners, during our live broadcast. Again, this show is broadcast live every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Some of you might be used to the old shows that were at 7, but this one is special, so it's a special time for a special presentation. So with the live shows, like I said, we like to engage with you all, and we have a couple different ways we can do it. Some of you are probably listening to the live show right now through your computer or your device, which is cool. You can use our chat room, which I'm sure Dad has already opened. If not, I'm sure he's going to be opening it in a second.
Yeah, it's open. It's open.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't touch it this time because I think when I open it, it kicks you out. So I'm just going to, if you want me to jump in there, let me know. But right now I'm not going to. But some of you might be listening right now like, hey, I don't see the chat room. That's probably because you didn't set up your own profile with Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
So,
right on.
So It's very simple to do so. You know, you can set up your own profile. It will ask you for credit card information, but don't worry, they won't charge your card, because when you select a free account, they won't charge you. Once you set up the account, presentation, come to our event on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see the chat room at the bottom, and that way you can ask any questions. But you may not want to do that. You can call us directly. You know, we still like the idea of the old talk radio style, but we still provide that for you. So hopefully you've got a pen and paper handy by now. And with that, I'm going to give you a phone number. If you're not already called in, you can call us directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, that's 516-453-6094. And if you want to jump in our queue, just press the 1 button on your keypad, and we'll have your number in the queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. So, you know, don't hesitate to jump in. Dad's always willing to respond and engage with you all. Don't let him fool you. He's just as caller friendly as I am. So don't let him fool you before you even get started. And finally, of course, we always have you on Facebook to fall back on, that we can use as well. Some of you may have received the invitations via the Facebook page. You can always go to the event page, and I'm going in there right now to make sure that it is available in case you all want to post any comments or questions on that page as well. So we're here for you. Yeah. You know, don't say that we didn't make it available for you, but we want to hear from you all. So feel free to engage with us and respond. So there you have it.
My man.
And with that.
Yeah. Right on, Wilfredo. You know, we haven't had a caller yet. This is the 5th episode. And maybe I've been too hell-bent on finishing in exactly 1 hour that I haven't figured out how to pace myself to make room for callers. So anyway, you know, just a thought. So how you doing, man? Everything is everything?
Yeah, everything is everything. That's a good thank you. Thank you. I was thinking of, like, how was I going to respond to that one? Because I didn't want to think too early to tell. That's your thing. But, I messed around, man, and watched, Sue and I messed around and watched this movie, A Man Called Otto, with Tom Hanks on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit emotional right now, man. I'm like,
okay.
Real.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. No spoiler.
That's it. I'm just saying, man. Yeah. I'm all emotional, man. Yeah. It's Tom Hanks, man. What can I say?
Right. No, I hear you. That's, you know, one of the icons in my movie life. You know, I mean, like him, Denzel, Robert De Niro. Males. There's a few males and females that I know will never let me down. You know, I don't matter. It doesn't matter if the movie's bad. I know they're going to always be good. You know. Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll try not to disturb your emotional body too much, but actually, I can't promise that I'll be able to hold to that. You know, based on where tonight's show seems to be taking me.
Yeah.
Amen.
I won't even hold you.
Amen. Right on, man. All righty. Thanks again, man, for kicking us off.
Yes,
I'm getting us started rather than kicking. And, you know, for the intro and, you know, everything else that you do so well, it really helps calm my nerves, you know, and helps remind me to say my, you know, prayers of invocation. And, you know, it's just what your voice does for me. So thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
All righty. In the healing wisdom of Africa, Maladone Somme, who is an African shaman, writes, "Even if you are full before the work, you can't take fullness for granted. You have to keep feeding it so that the feeding of fullness continues. Music and rhythm are the things that feed someone who is producing something." Wow, I love that. I got to read it one more time. Even if it don't mean nothing to y'all, it means a lot to me. In the healing wisdom of Africa, Maladome Somme, who is an African shaman, writes, and he also drinks a lot. I don't even know if he's still alive. But anyway, even if you are full before the work, you can't take fullness for granted. You have to keep feeding it so that the feeding of fullness continues. Music and rhythm are the things that feed someone who is producing something. Amen. Too many of us. Okay, that's the end of the quote. Now it's my turn. Too many of us human beings, actually, are losing the inner sight of our spiritual awareness. We're kind of fading into ourselves. Anyway, we are becoming a culture, overall culture, American society, that is allowing our fears to dull our inherent creative imagination, blocking the healing qualities of the heart and causing the portal to the soul to gradually begin to close. We talked some about the heart chakra last week. We didn't really go too deep into it, but we've been talking about all the chakras. We've been talking about breath work. We've been talking about music. We've been talking about artwork. But the heart, I think deserves its own recognition because of the incredible job it does, not just to our physical body, but for our emotional body as well. That'd teach me to drink a half a can of ginger ale real fast. But again, y'all have to pay the price for it, right? Okay, how do you know if this is something you are going through? How do you know if, in fact, the portal to your soul is beginning to close? How do you know? Well, for you, I ain't got a clue. sometimes I remember when I was a counselor at an African American male halfway house, I learned something. I learned a lot. One of the things I learned that many of my complexes were being relived and being recognized through the male clients that I served. My African brother, and even though Lutheran Social Services denied it was, on the South Side, but it wasn't just for black males. 99.9% of all the residents that came through that halfway house were black males. There was only one guy who came through as a white dude, and at that time it was called TASC, a treatment alternative to street crimes. They've since changed the name. So he was mandated to be there, and he's still booked. But anyway, I learned a lot from these my African-American brethren, that it's a hard task for someone black and for someone black and male in particular to really be clear, about life's purpose, unadulterated, not tainted by expectations of others, not confused by the values of others, and not defined by the expectations of others. My man Ralph Ellison wrote in Invisible Man, it is sometimes advantageous to be invisible, although it can be rather wearing on the nerves. So black men by and large have perfected the art of invisibility. And it's usually only when we reach a place of ego conflict, that our identity is exposed and we start becoming visible to the rest of the world. Of course, unfortunately, that usually happens with an episode, and then we become angry black men. We go from invisible to angry. I mean, that's a hell of a way to all of a sudden appear to somebody, isn't it? I mean, you're getting along, and everything is cool. Everybody, likes, your easy way. And all of a sudden, they step on that little toe, that pinky toe, and you're, ah! And they say, oh, you angry. Yeah, I mean, we don't get the in-between. We're either calm or we're angry. And then more so than not, we get the fluff off, you just being you. And, it's a confusing, although sometimes hilarious experience to be black and male in a culture that still doesn't even recognize us as being black men. We hear a lot in the news that about the male dominant society, and it's, the male takeover and the patriarchal system. Yeah, but it's the white male. Black men don't dictate policy. We only react to it. And people, still don't get that. But anyway, moving on. So I can't really tell you, if your spiritual wellness, your spiritual awareness, excuse me, and your creative imagination is blocking the healing qualities of your heart and causing that portal to your soul to gradually begin to close. But I can tell you, when I'm starting to show signs of that portal to my soul gradually closing, first one is I start feeling a disconnection with my higher power, who I choose to call God. Things seem to feel personal, as if it's my job to fix them. You know, although everything does start out as personal, I think it starts out that way so it can be, you know, designated as to what part of me is to attend to this. But as my portal begins to close, I take all parts on equally. And as a result, I begin to gradually fade God out of the picture. Now, the second thing, you know, that I go through, I start to feel less and less that those close to me are having difficulty. And I start feeling less and less that those close to me, you know, are understanding my issues. They're having difficulty, you know, recognizing my stuff, my problems, and my drama. I know a lot of people like to say they're drama-free. Those are people I usually stay away from, you know, because a conversation with them is usually going to cause them to say, you got a lot of drama. You know, I don't know how to talk to somebody without me showing up. But I guess that's the expectation, right? You're just supposed to show up in an acceptable way, because if you mess around, well, if I mess around, you know, and let my true self, lower self, ego self, reveal itself, then I'm at the mercy of the person who's on the receiving end. You know, everything about me is in jeopardy as soon as I open my mouth. I start to lose that creative zeal for pursuing my life's purpose. Seriously. You know, I just start, you know, painting by the numbers, somehow telling myself not to take myself so seriously. Man, and I'm sure there's other things that could go into that list. But, you know, just that last statement, you know, I just start painting by the numbers. Y'all know what I mean? Just going through the routine, just staying within the boundaries, just doing what 1, 2, 3 expects you to do to get to 4, 5, 6. Just staying within a closed concept of self. And somehow telling myself as I'm doing that, as I'm choking, you know, myself, as I'm squeezing that portal to my soul closed, you know, I tell myself not to take myself so seriously. Why? Because I anticipate if I'm talking to someone about my drama, that they're going to say, you need to stop taking yourself so seriously. It's a trip. And from the ego realm, that's how it should be. That's the dialogue. Ego versus ego, or ego complements ego, or ego validates ego. You know, that's really the defining aspect of dialogue. You know, my ego, you know, begins to dialogue with your ego. And we begin to find out how healthy our egos are, you know, or not, by the responses that begin to show up. Isn't that a trip? You know, like, what does it take to have an argument? Two people that are right. Well, two or more, of course. You know, you ever try to have an argument with yourself? That's a no-win scenario. You know, when I start drifting away from my purpose, as attitudes slowly begin to pile up, I have a fixed thing I say to myself. Well, at least I ain't drinking over it. And I can only hope and pray that I don't give life to that thought. You know, well, at least I'm not drinking over it. It's like, you know, that somehow tells me not to take life so seriously, because at least you're not drinking over it. So if I do, what does that mean? Oh, you took it too seriously. You should have called me. You should have talked to me about it. You should have reached out to somebody. It's a strange disconnect that happens between the self, lowercase ego self, and the higher case true self. You know, that self of our being that is born from the higher three chakras, which we'll get more into probably in the next couple shows. You know, so the lower three is where conflict resides. That's the foundation of the ego. The first, of course, is the physical, or the first chakra. You know, I'm sure you are referring back to old notes now to remind yourself of that first chakra and its energy and its power. You know, it's the fight or flight. It's that aspect of self that, you know, tends to take on, you know, the immediate affront, you know, of life. You know, it's like it's the first line of defense. And literally, you know, that's a defense mechanism. Defense mechanisms are really born from, you know, that root chakra, you know. And, of course, you know, the struggle is for the first 7 years of life is to understand I can grow from an unsteady foundation, you know, and it's, you know, the root chakra's element is earth, grounding. We ground into our issues. That's where our basic needs are supposed to be met. Food, shelter, clothing, and a sense of safety. So think about it. What happens if a person is born into a circumstance where food is scarce, you know, shelter is always flighty, you know, and clothing is at best hand-me-downs. And, of course, that concern for safety. You know, somebody told me once, you know, in order to dream, you have to feel safe enough to dream. You know, so how many of our dreams never find fruition, never find expression, because we don't ever feel unconsciously safe enough to dream. You know, I mean, like there's so much other stuff that our psyches are processing when we enter into the dream world, that especially the issue around safety that we don't ever feel. Can you imagine what it must feel like? And I'm sure some of you have, I know I have been through, where I go to sleep really afraid of what the night is going to bring me. And in many ways and many times, I found a way to get around that. You know, I drank myself to sleep. Of course, the problem with that is to wake up in the morning thinking for about 10 seconds, everything is okay with God in his world. And then that 11 second hits and those knots start forming in the gut. And I don't mean K-N-O-T-S. I mean N-O-T-S. You know, all the stuff I'm not going to do, you know. So then, you know, for the next 7 years, you know, 8 through 14, you know, we start dealing with, you know, the sacral elements or, you know, the sensual or the, you know, psychosexual even aspects of ourselves, you know. And the positive statement, of course, to make is I will always honor others, but not before myself. And here then lies the great struggle around that second chakra. You know, am I honoring myself or am I taking myself out on others? You know, or are others taking myself out on them? It's a heck of a thing to deal with, you know, the lost aspects of sexuality, you know, that so often for so many gives sway to, you know, drugs, sex, and rock and roll, you know, and, only to reach a place of saturation, you know, where an element of self-doubt and self-disillusionment just begins to creep in and take over. You know, so the element, you know, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but, you know, it seems to make sense that it would be water. You know, water is the emotional body of the body, the emotional body of the body. You know, and then from 15 to 21, we move into the solar plexus. You know, self-love starts when I accept all parts of myself. Self-love starts when I accept all parts of myself. So what happens when self-love begins to decay? I think it's when I begin to doubt all parts of myself. And then we move to the heart, which is really the first level of transformation. But we'll talk about the heart more in depth. But understand the most important validating aspect of the heart is to feel, is to say, and is to think. When I love myself, loving others comes easy. Amen. Amen. So moving right along and getting into the real nuts and bolts of tonight's show. Just one little quick comment about last week's show. I started out by saying, look at the world of today. You know, and you look at the world of today, you see it's extremely violent. There's more than enough fear to go around as a result. I know one thing about fear that affects most of us. It must either be distracted or avoided at all costs. You know, and how much energy do we use up in trying to distract our basic fears when they begin to appear. You know, it's in many ways a vicious cycle. So many of us, I love this quote, many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. That was by Fulton Osler. I love that quote. I think I'll make it a T-shirt. You know, so anyway, there was a movie, Roman J. Israel, Esquire. I don't know if any of y'all saw it. Denzel Washington starred in it, and actually he was up for Academy Award. But most people like myself had never even heard of the movie until we were watching the Academy Awards and heard that he was nominated for his role, which, of course, caused me to hurry up and go get the movie. And he had a line in the movie. He said, "I believe because of my beliefs." And then he said that the ability to have conflicting ideas in one's head takes effort. So I believe because of my beliefs. But then the ability to have conflicting ideas in one's head takes effort. I just love this kind of stuff. Yeah, I know because it just speaks so directly to me, especially in times of confusion. These things remind me so much of, you know, what I'm really about. So, oh boy, where are we right now? Wilfredo, any comments, thoughts, questions, complaints? Right. Continue to trace along.
You're flowing, man. You know, keep it going. I'm waiting on the T-shirt, though. I'll be the first one in line. But no, man, you're good.
Amen. All right, man. All righty. Thank you, man, for that. You know, again, there's nothing like having a good EP. You know, they say things to you like that. Yeah, all righty. So, the thing and the things I love about meditating to music, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me back up a little bit. You know, I don't know if this has, when I talked about my list, if it's inspired any of you to consider your list, you know, your list of, let's just call it self-doubt that is the precursor to allowing that portal to the soul to begin to close. You know, self-doubt is really, I think, the ruling factor, the dominant factor of shadow that is only born from the lower three chakras. You know, shadow has ego, you know, and where spirit doesn't, you know, consider that. You know, conflicts are born from the ego, and, you know, harmony, you know, is born from love. So the idea is to merge harmony, you know, with conflict, you know, and that's, of course, can only be done in the heart again. But that's, you know, for a future show. So the things I love about meditating, you know, because the question is always, okay, at least as far as a show like this is concerned, is what's the big deal? I mean, what's the purpose of meditating? What thing about breath work? Although breath work is not the panacea, it's just one thing, one tool, one approach that can be added to other things that we do to feel better about ourselves. It's very, very, very pliable. You know, it can fit almost any circumstance, as long as the circumstance understands breath work is not designed to take its place, because that'll stir the ego up too. The ego likes to be in control. I hope we all understand that. The ego isn't easing God out, but, not a healthy ego. An unhealthy ego, however, is about easing God out. Yeah, I need to make that preference. That's the difference between, you know, the light of ego and the dark, or the shadow of ego. You know, the light of ego is definitely the embracing, you know, of our life's challenges, understanding beyond intellectual enlightenment that there's a greater enlightenment waiting for us as we move through that threshold. That threshold that is available to us as we pass through the heart. But that unhealthy ego, the one that tends to want to take over and tell us all the time that we know what we're doing, we're in charge, we got it, no matter what other people are telling us along the way, you know, We're telling ourselves that our misery is absolutely justified. Whatever it is, you know, that's miserable, that hurts, that's disillusioned, that is disjointed, you know, our egos is telling us that's okay. You know, we got this, you know, and it spends that time justifying all that by looking into the outer plane of the self instead of turning inward. And the outer plane, of course, is where everything else resides, every person, every place, everything, you know, just pick it, maybe one, maybe all three. But that's where that shadow of ego takes over. It's looking outward, and that's where we become our thoughts. We have thoughts, but we are not our thoughts until our thoughts become the external plane. Then everything we think about is justified because of what the external plane is doing to us. It's always doing something to us. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't, like earlier Saturday, our air conditioning here has been out. You know, so it's like, you know, all the things that happened that led up to the both air conditioning units going out that have different issues, you know, it's like doing things to me. The air conditioning ain't working. But no, it's doing things to me. And so since Saturday, you can believe it's done a whole lot of things to me. It's crazy. But really, you know, the crazy thing is I'm sweating. But sweat, as designed by God, or at least my God, cools me off. And I sweat a lot. So, you know, it's just as long as I'm willing to change T-shirts and, you know, change my drawers, then you know, I'm all right. But it's just, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be working. It's just air conditioning. And I'm old enough. I'm 76. So I'm old enough to remember when there was no such thing as air conditioning. You know, air conditioning for us was opening up the front windows and the back door and letting the breeze take over. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my sister Brenda about this, and she said she remembers when her mama would hang a bag of ice from the window and put a fan in the window, and the fan would blow, you know, against the ice. Crazy thing is, I have this little air cube. It's called the Arctic something, and you put ice in it, you know, you freeze the filter, and then you turn it on, and it has a fan in the back of it, so it's doing what we did, you know, 60, 70 years ago. Crazy. But anyway, it's really difficult to be able for me to find my inner plane when I'm so focused on my outer struggles, if it's possible at all, without some kind of divine intervention. So the more I can breathe, you know, I'm talking about those full cyclic breaths, you know, the more I give myself a chance to move outside of that judgmental plane of the ego, you know. And it's for me what the real value of something like breath work is. It's not like telling me that I'm good or bad. It's not, you know, telling me that I'm right or wrong. It's not telling me anything other than you need to breathe. breath, you know, is the key. Nothing else matters if I don't breathe. Then all my issues are gone if I stop breathing forever. You know what I mean? So the thing I love about meditating to music is that, first of all, it ain't judgmental. I get absorbed in the flow of the music and my breathing. They work together. The more I can breathe those full cyclic breaths, you understand what I mean by that? That full inner breath and that full outer breath. And it's a matter of finding your rhythm. It's faster than usual breathing, but it's not, you know, hyperventilating. It's just the faster rhythmic breathing, but it's unbroken. It's a full cyclic breathing. And it's a matter of finding the rhythm. What I mean by that, find that even place, that plateau where the in-breath and the out-breath are the same. Now, some of us, like me, I breathe in a lot slower than I breathe out. So it takes more effort for me to find the rhythm of the out-breath more so than the in-breath. You know, I breathe in, it might take 5, 6, 7 seconds to fill my lungs out, but then I breathe out, gone in a couple of seconds. So it's a matter of finding that rhythm. You know, finding that steady, continuous, faster than usual, inner cyclic breath And I'll tell you the benefit of that is that the brain can't do two things at once. So if I'm breathing to music, the music becomes just the background, almost like my soundtrack. You know, then it's the breath that I'm focused on. And the breath, you know, takes that full effort of in and out breath with no break in between. So thoughts can't get in there. But I don't know about y'all, but I'm doing good if I can do about seven of those breaths before thoughts get in there. So what does that mean? I failed? Oh, no. You know, I'm doomed? No. It just means go back to the breathing again. Just go back to the breathing again. Find the rhythm again. And something else comes along, that's all right. Go back to the breathing again. See, that forces out, you know, the negative attributes of my ego. And now it begins to be reinforced by the positive aspects of my ego. Even if the ego is just saying, you know, silently to me, "Oh, you can do this, man." Or it might even say, "Wow, you've mastered it." Of course, that's the danger. That's all of a sudden when I stop breathing. Like, and I start thinking about what a good boy am I. You know, that just means more trouble. So the more I can breathe those full cyclic breaths with no break in between, the more my inner chatter fades. Of course, sometimes my ego doesn't want to fade. After all, that's the voice of my ego. You know, that chatterbox, the chatter of thoughts. Thoughts. Always, you know, somehow being stirred up, always, you know, influenced by. And it's not the inner realm that does it, even though we kind of disillusion ourselves into thinking that. No, it's the outer realm that stimulates all of our senses. You know, our senses are really in cohesion. They are perfectly in rhythm, absolutely in tune one to another until something outside of us stirs it up. You know, whether it's a smell, whether it's something I see, and I'm not going to go into my lower ego self and talking about that, something I might see, something I might hear, you know, something somebody else might say. Has it ever happened to you where you absolutely have a pretty stable, a pretty even approach about an individual, and then somebody else's belief about a person can change your attitude about that same person just because the other person, maybe somebody who you respect or like or otherwise are influenced by, has gotten into that outer realm of influence where now, you know, the outer self is beginning to influence how it's being interpreted by the ego self. You know, and I don't know about you, but many times I have to back off for a second. Usually it's too late, because my opinion of someone else has already been tainted by the outside influence. So it's like, okay, so now what? I might hear myself going into a place of gossip. Oh, God, the people close to me know that I fall into that place of gossip in a heartbeat. And what you know the beauty about that is they'll not criticize me or chastise me, you know, but trust in me long enough, have trusted in me long enough to know that hearing me out means giving me a chance to hear myself. And almost always when I begin to hear myself, I begin to correct myself. But that's the power of having a positive sphere of influence around you. How many of us have a negative sphere of influence around us that just beat that drum even louder when we're beginning to beat up on other people? You know, and it's really more damning and destructive when there's no dialogue going on beyond the scope of that circle. So I might be talking about somebody else in the circle is really encouraging it, but then that somebody else steps into the arena and suddenly we shift focus, because one thing we're not going to do is let the other person know we're talking about them. See, and that's what gives, you know, that shadowy side of the ego so much power, you know, and sometimes we can do it all by ourselves in our own thoughts, in our own time spent, depending on where we are, you know, with our own involutionary process. You know, my ego is always about justifying my mood. My ego is always about justifying my mood. Do you hear me? Do you hear me out there? I hope I'm hearing amen somewhere. You know, my ego is always about justifying my mood, whatever that mood is. You know, yeah, it could be positive. Yeah, it could be negative. It could be
It ain't going to be neutral. You can believe that. You know, the ego ain't got no time for neutrality. It's got to have something.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
There it is. There it is. Yeah, you know, my ego is always about justifying my mood. And even a healthy ego will make a stronger case that it's right. So, okay, you got a negative ego, and, of course, it's justifying whatever the mood is. You got a healthy ego, and you get stirred into action. Now, your healthy ego is going to make even a stronger case that you're right. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm right about this one. Doggone it. No, you got to check yourself. I ain't going to let this one die. You know, you're going to have to bend your will to mine. You're going to have to succumb to my way. You know, you're going to have to surrender. Yeah, that's my healthy ego wanting really nothing more than just to be validated. But it's healthy in its way it's doing it. So it's justifying its tactics, you know, and the argument. I don't know of a better source to justify what I just said than an argument. I mean, really, if your ego is healthy, when have you ever entered into an argument thinking you're wrong? You know, and the ego is unhealthy, you're going to enter into every argument thinking that you're right. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. But the healthy ego is not going to enter into an argument unless it's got all its ducks in a row, unless it's absolutely self-assured that, by God, I got God on my side. And God ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, matter of fact, God has stepped to the side waiting for the ego to calm down and sense to be restored. You know, there's a couple steps. The first step in AA is we admitted we were powerless over whatever it is and that our lives have become unmanageable. But then the second step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So there is insanity going on in that first step, powerlessness and unmanageability. And the big book of AA teaches it only seems to be that way. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And to show other alcoholics precisely how we have is the main purpose of this book. So right after step one is what everything else is all about. Came to believe. You come to believe, you know, that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. And the insanity is the moment of argument. That's when I've lost my bearing. That's when my ground beneath me has gone from rock to lava. Yeah, I guess a good way to put it. You know, and my foundation is not just weakened, it's liquefied. So I don't have a rock to stand on. I almost said something else. Anyway, so understanding that this, you know, there's a movie, well, there's several of them. I think four at last count, but probably many others that have borrowed from us, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, and the book, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll, you know, really talks about what the movies are all about. And there's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde about all of us, you know, our impeccable, you know, flawless, you know, selves versus that dark, brooding, conflicting self, the Mr. Hyde, you know, and Dr. Jekyll believed that he could free himself from, really what he was trying to do was free himself from ego, you know, from shadow, the shadowy part of ego, you know, felt that if I could free myself from that, then I would live that perfect life, never being swayed by dark thoughts. You know, what kind of life is that, never to be swayed by dark thoughts? It would be one that would be very, very rigid, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if the human or the being can do that since we're sexual beings. You know, it's like we're sexual beings. You know, we're spiritual beings having a sexual experience in life. You know, anyway, it's something to think about. You know, but shadow, you know, is something that we're going to spend a lot more time talking about next week. It deserves its own show. You know, keeping in mind that my ego was always about justifying itself. And even a healthy ego will make even a stronger case that it's right. And at that point is when when shadow does reveal itself. You know, that's the thing about shadow. You know, we're going to talk about that more, you know. But I'll just say this real quick. If we're not willing to recognize when our shadow is dominating our behaviors, then our shadow will set things up in such a way that there's something we will say or something we will do that will just embarrass the hell out of it. You know, and it's never something we meant to say or do. And it's too late when it happens to snatch it back. And it's like, damn, now what? And I'm betting y'all kind of know what I'm talking about. This show, though, is more about the energy drain that sucks the air right out of the creative balloon. And it's, you know, not just, it's not a blowout. No, not what I'm talking about. You know, no, it's more like a slow leak. Yeah, I've had a ride, you know, a vehicle, a car or whatever, you know, that develops a slow leak in the tire. You know, what do you have to do? Well, you have to replace it. Well, sometimes we used to patch it, you know. Now I guess you can patch the tire. I'm old enough to remember all tires had inner tubes. You know, you have a slow leak in your bike. You found a leak. You put a circle around it. You put this stuff on, this glue stuff on it. You set it on fire, and then you blew the fire out and slapped the patch on. But you had to be sure that you circled the hole, else it was a waste of time. And you had to hope it was only one. You know, even though those kits had several patches anyway. So being more like a slow leak, you know, that tends to go unrepaired, we just fill it up. You know, just keep putting more air in it. And we know when it's time to put more air in it because we wait just when it's about to go flat. You know, I mean, like, oh, it's not too bad. Oh, it's not too bad. We don't use the tire gauge. We don't check the level. We're just eyeballing it. Time to go. Okay, time to put some more air in it. You know, but not change it, you know, not even replace it. And then we got all kind of reasons for not doing that, right? Like, you know, I just ain't got the money right now, which kicks in a whole nother, you know, a whole other circle of conflicting issues outside of ourselves, like the whys. Why me? I just had a why me experience this afternoon. You know, I was cutting some chicken up in the bathroom, and I had it on a paper plate as I was cutting it. Now, reason should tell me, you know, why would you want to try to cut this on the sink in the bathroom on a paper plate? So I got through the bigger pieces, got near the end, and, of course, whoop, went right off the sink onto the floor. And the floor, of course, is covered with a carpet. So so now the chicken has grown hair. So, of course, that's the end of that. I ain't eating no hairy chicken, right? So that's the end of that. So I said, why? You know, why? You know, not looking at the fact that, well, most of the chicken, I'm like, you know, more than three-fourths of it, you know, I did get cut up, you know, and it was really what was left. You know, but it was that it, you know, that I wasn't done with it yet. You know, so why me? First, I got to sit in this house with no air conditioner, and then nobody wants to hear my lamenting about how I'm dying here. That's my best Jack Nicholson impression. I'm dying here. Nobody wants to hear anything. You know, so nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to hear me. You know, that's the shadowy aspect of my ego trying to tell me something. And almost always it's trying to tell me, slow down, shut up, use that air to breathe. You know, and it only takes 10 seconds to break the cycle, if that long. Just, you know, just even approaching the timeout of breathing breaks the cycle right away. Then, of course, it's the struggle. Do I want to keep doing this? I want to stay young because I'm not convinced everybody understands my pain. That's crazy, man. But, you know, it's me. So that's the thing I always have to remember. I always have to claim. I always have to own that, this shit is me. So just keep in mind, the ego will continually draw us backwards toward the level where the unmet need resides until that unmet need is met. Conflict resides in the three lower levels of the self, whether physical, emotional, or mental. Those issues, whatever those issues or that issue is found in the realm of conflict. That's the realm of ego. So conflict resides in these three lower levels. And we just have to remember that our egos will continuously draw us backwards toward the level where the unmet need resides. So is it physical? You know, is it emotional? Now, emotional could also mean creative. It could also mean sexual. So those three aspects of the emotional self needs to be weighed carefully and not, misconstrued. And, you know, and in the process, understanding that sometimes all three can confuse themselves. So understanding as clearly as possible what my intention is to reveal as I enter into the realm of the unconscious that I'm looking to find where the conflict is. There's no conflict in spirit, so it has to be in ego. It has to be somewhere in my ego because my spirit is ego-free. My spirit doesn't judge me. You know, and as a matter of fact, be very careful about people who may try to convince you that it does. If your spirit is judging you, what chance do you have in life? You're already ruled by your ego, and now your spirit is judging every way you react to your ego? Oh, please. You know, that's a fire-breathing dragon. That ain't God. Well, but then again, you know, let me be clear about something, my disclaimer. I'm only an expert in one area, and that's my own opinion. So we all are entitled to how we see ourselves. So I believe that if one does recognize the realm of the ego, then it helps to realize that our ego will all that the healthier our ego, in fact, the more it will act that way. It won't just reside in that first level chakra. It just won't take residence in that root area. It just won't, you know, relegate itself to fight. It won't even consider flight, you know, so it's just mad. You know, well, the healthy ego is like, let's take a look at where this is, you know, because I might be mad at something mental. I might be mad at something emotional, creative, sexual, or I might be mad at mad, but let me see where this is residing. So that's why it's helpful when meditating to music to be sure to incorporate grounding and sensual music entering into the journey music and then reaching a place where the ego can reveal its stuck place, allowing a kind of ego death to take place. So we start out when we meditate to music, being very clear about the kind of music you're being taught if this is something you're drawn to. Breathwork music is contentless music, what we talked about in previous shows. So it's a matter of understanding that this music is not done in happenstance. It's not a random process. It's designed to create a trajectory that starts at the base level chakra, first chakra, and works its way on up to the seventh. But you don't have to do all that to get clear about where the conflict is residing, because the idea is to reach a place of the heart. So that's why it's helpful when meditating to music to be sure to incorporate first grounding and sensual music, you know, drum beats, you know, rhythmic, you know, music that may have, you know, like maybe even an Egyptian or an Indian, East Indian quality to it. Think of indigenous African drumming, you know, chaotic, but not on the verge of insanity. Well, you can't even keep up to it, but the kind that draws you in. It's chaotic, but it's rhythmic, and it's sensual, and it moves into that place of what we call hero's journey or journey music, you know, that you know, ready to lead the charge, ready to put on the full armor of God and enter into the fray. You know, the full armor, though, not just part of it. You know, you want to be sure to start with your helmet and end with your cleats, you know. So anyway, you know, you want to have on the full armor of God and never enter into a realm of taking personal inventory without having first armed yourself with the full armor of God, the God's protection around you anytime you're going to take a look at your inner self. Otherwise, it's ego-driven. And when it's ego-driven, understand you're never going to satisfy
what it is that the ego is requiring to be met. So that sensual music leads to the journey music that begins to open the heart. And that heart opening, of course, is the cleansing, is the clearing out, you know, everything that's knotted up in the solar plexus, you know, and allowing a kind of ego death to take place. Now, what do I mean by ego death? That's when you relinquish control. That's the easiest way to put it. That's when I not just surrender, because that can be, you know, kind of, you know, ego deceptive in itself. But, you know, when I just give it up, you know, when I let it go, you know, that's the whole point, you know, of ego death. You know, and I have to be willing to let it go. And I don't get to have the fly paper. It's like, no, this is it. Okay, I see we're about at the end. We got about 3 minutes left. Willie, any comments you want to make before we wrap this up? Well, it's already wrapped up before we say goodbye.
we already at that time, man. I just, you know, I was sitting here just trying to make sure I maintain a steady breath while you're talking about it, because, you know, we get to talking about ego and shadow and energies, man. And so, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm thinking about my personal things that I'm, you know, issues I'm going through right now and stuff like that.
Right.
It's always good to be reminded, though, you know, to just slow down, or if you can, stop or whatever it is, and just take a moment, take some inventory, take a breath. We get so caught up in how everything, you know, it's like, no, I got to do this. Okay, I got this problem. I got to do that. I forget. I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but I tell you, man, you know, I forget all the time, you know, and it's like, no, you know. So, man, I'm sitting here taking notes. I even made some comments in the discussion page on the Facebook. You followed up on it, ego death and shadow. And, you know, my struggles, well, not struggles, but, you know, my growth, my process, and always dealing with that is always such a trip. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
and,
man. Like father, like son.
Yeah, man. And finally, you know, just dealing with the differences between sexual energy and creative energy.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been a tug of war. And now how things seem to be so much more sexualized than, you know,
right on
media and TV, you know, it's just literally in your face sometimes, like, holy cow, you know. And then on top of that, you know, social media is fun sometimes, but then it offers more for the ego, because now I'm looking over at this person, I'm like, oh, man, how come I ain't got that? You know, so it's like all these little small little things.
Amen, man. You know, I'm laughing with you, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm just saying. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm doing my own self inventory, trying to make sure I'm cool on the controls. You know, and I'm like, oh, what about me? Why?
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 Perfect. And then you turn around and watch a movie like what you just watched, and all of your emotions come rushing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, how our sensual selves operate, you know, that in spite of everything else that may be going on, we always have room to cry, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty fascinating, you know? Yeah. And I think in many, I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, and I'm sorry to cut you off, just was there anything in the chat room? Did you have any activity? Because I didn't open it up on my end.
Oh, I don't think so, but let me look right quick. Nope, just a mole.
Okay. Oh.
I mean, not a mole. What do you call it? A troll? Yeah, a mole, a troll. That's a, and again, I got disconnected from the chat room, so. Yeah.
Oh.
So no, that was it. Did you go in?
Okay. I just went in.
Did
right
you go?
Now, so.
And that cut me off. Yeah. Okay. So you saw what
I
saw.
Just now. Yeah. Okay. No worries.
There's a number in the studio, 469, and I don't know who that could be, but I'm not gonna. You know, they didn't put their hand up. I mean, they didn't signal that they had anything to say, so I'm not gonna. You know, I'm not gonna mess with them. You know, that number looks familiar.
We're glad they jumped in and took time, because they've been here since the beginning. So, maybe next time they can engage in one of our different ways and let us know their comments.
Uh-oh,
thoughts.
They just put their hand up. Hold on a second. We're going to go a little bit into overtime. You okay with that, Will?
All right, go for it.
Okay.
You got it.
All right, 469. You're live.
It's Jay Pastor, man. Now y'all can log out.
I
just wanted to record. You knew it was me, man. Stop it.
That sounds
like ego.
Well, it's ego rubbing ego. Yeah, man. It's good to hear. Wow, it's good to hear you. And of course, you're the first person to actually call in and comment. So it's good that you're the first. I mean, good for me anyway that you're the first person to do it, man. So thank you for dialing in, Jay Pastor.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all for what y'all do, man. I appreciate it.
We're a little bit in overtime. You got a couple minutes? You got anything you want to throw out there?
Oh, no, sir, not at all. I was just, just riding and listening and soaking it up. I wasn't able to take notes like Wilfredo, but I think I took enough mental notes to let me know that, hey, man, I need to be here next week because we going back in on this thing, you know?
Amen. As a matter of fact, too, that comment right there, you know, we don't mention it enough, but that all the shows are archived. So at any time, anybody can go back and listen to any show they want, and it has the little arrow device, so they don't have to listen to the whole show. Could just, you know, fast forward, you know, rewind or whatever. Just as a reminder, you know, if there's ever, you know, a situation that, you know, you would like to, you know, like, what was that was said? You know, well, the shows are archived. Well, again, thank you for calling in, man. You know,
man,
greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'll see you tomorrow. And I'll see you tomorrow morning. Amen.
Yes, sir. Lord, we
well,
are. All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, you too, man. Thanks again.
All right.
Okay, Wilfredo, that was a nice blast, huh?
Yeah.
All righty, man. Yeah. So thank you again, you know, for, you know, being the, you know, just thank you, man, for being the child of God you are. You know, you give me hope when you don't know you give me hope.
Yeah, right on.
And you give me hope when you know you give me hope.
Hey, if I can real quick, you know,
right before
we go, just wanted to acknowledge yesterday was Jackson's birthday, so I just wanted to just put that on the record.
Yeah.
You know, my son, your grandson, 17 now, so
17,
just wanted to put that
man.
Out there. Happy birthday,
17, man. Well, you know, I hit him up. You know that. I think I told you. You know. And he hit me back, you know. And, you know, I think texting is made for him and me. You don't have to worry about him, boy. That's all you got to say.
Most definitely.
Yeah,
and speaking of sons and fathers, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all your fathers.
Thank you. Yeah, right on. That's right. Yeah, because that's right. What, Father's Day is this Sunday?
This Sunday.
So we won't have a show before then. Right on, Will. Man, it's good thinking, brother. See there? That's what I'm talking about. So I can make room for T-shirts and slippers, right?
Boom. There you go.
and baseball caps. Okay, man. I love you, man. I love you too. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All righty, y'all. So that wraps up another episode of The Greenhouse Effect, Healing with Sound and Color, The Almost Lost Art of Meditating, you know, with Music. I'm your co-host, Bill Green, and you also heard from co-host Will Green. That's my oldest son. And we appreciate you all allowing us the opportunity to, you know, enter into your world, you know, as we try to bring you into ours. And with no further ado, I want to wish you, you know, a good night, a peaceful night, rest,
And God bless you all.
Can you the prayer of the children abandoning in the shadow of an unknown room? Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning heavenward toward the crying, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul take. Can you feel the hearts of the children aching for home, for something of their very own? Reaching hands with nothing to hold on to, but hope for a better day, a better day. Crying, Jesus, help me to feel the love again. But if unknown roads lead away from home, give me loving arms away from home.
The prayer of a child.